Spider, and welcome to the University of Laws podcast. I'm your host, Rick Palmer, and today I'm going to speak to Jen Schmidt-Peterson. Jen is the head of the policing course at the University of Law. I'm going to talk to her about her time in the police service and what she used to get up to on a day-to-day basis. I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about what Jen did before she ever joined the service, because she actually came from academia and she used to do research into some really cool, interesting areas such as criminal behaviour. Jen's also going to try and demystify for us the routes into the police service now, because the police service is a big change and this is the way that you now qualify to be a police officer. So she's going to talk to us about the three different routes there are into the police service, and also which one might be for you and why they've all come about. So here we are, Jen Schmidt-Peterson talking to us about the police.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for speaking to us today. So we're very excited to hear a bit more about this. A lot of people out there are very interested in the new routes into the police service. Can you give me a bit of an understanding of what you were doing on a day-to-day when you were in service?
Yeah, so I've had probably a little bit of an unusual sort of like career in terms of sort of like time spent in academia, and then sort of like joining sort of like a little bit older and then going back into academia. But so I worked as a constable on the front line. I was on emergency response in North London. And I also worked on safer neighborhoods in North London. And I also did my national investigators exam, because if I hadn't gone back into academia, I would have pursued a career in CID with my aim initially was to sort of like have a focus on sort of sexual offences, victim support and those types of crime. But then obviously life sometimes sort of goes another way, and I then sort of made the decision to go back into academia, which is funny because obviously I was an academic before, but it's really important. To me, it's highlighted the importance of having had that operational experience and sort of like really experiencing firsthand sort of like what can sometimes be quite a significant gap between theory and practice.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's quite important. But I mean, it was definitely very, very exciting when I was in the police. So, I mean, things we would do is especially sort of like on emergency response. So you're responding to calls and requests from the public and emergency services, and you assist at incidences. And essentially, you have to deal with whatever you get called to. So that ranges sort of like from domestics to stabbings to shoplifting. It really depends on what the calls are that come in. And obviously, there are some key skills sort of like developing rapport and working in partnership with other sort of like agencies, individuals, but also with the community. And you really sort of me coming from a psychology background, I thought it was really interesting how sort of like interpersonal skills like being impartial and diffusing volatile situations that weren't necessarily explicitly taught suddenly came in really, really handy.
Yeah.
And how, sort of, if you're conducting an arrest or if you're conducting an interview, sometimes just the way that you speak to someone, sort of like the difference that makes in terms of their perception of you, and do they perceive you as someone who has a due regard for human rights and health and safety, even though you might sort of be disagreeing about sort of what's happening at the moment. So it was a very sort of interesting and an exciting time, I have to say.
Yeah.
Before I went back into academia.
So you've mentioned before that you used to be in academia. What were you doing before you joined the police service?
So my academic background is sort of in psychology, criminology, with a particular focus on investigative and forensic psychology. So I worked as a lecturer for a number of higher education institutions, basically in and around London. So I've had quite an extensive background of teaching, and I also published in the area of terrorism and counterterrorism, which was an area that I was always particularly interested in, and particularly so from a psychological perspective. And then what I did as well is if I did a wide range of sort of voluntary work in the mental health sector as well as in the prison sector over the years, because I think it's like I said before, I always think it's really important to not have the sort of experience where you're in the ivory tower and you only ever read the theory, but you've never actually been in touch with sort of like people who are working in the criminal justice sector or with the prison population or with people with mental health problems. I think that direct experience is absolutely crucial in terms of passing that on to students. You want that practitioner input. So some of the subjects that I used to teach sort of over the years across different programs, undergraduate and postgraduate programs, as well as sort of like international foundation, with things like the psychology of criminal behavior, trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, sexual and violent offenses, transnational organized crime, psychopathy, the academics of research and the theory of hostage negotiation, the sort of like research into serial murder as a sort of psychological phenomena. And that was sort of like what I spent a lot of time doing. I then sort of like really wanted to sort of get that operational experience as well, which is why I initially joined the police before sort of realizing that I just missed teaching and academia too much.
You mentioned there obviously a real hot topic for a lot of people out there, which is in quote marks profiling, which is the word that people often aren't keen on. But when it comes to things like criminal behavioral investigation and things like that, what would you say out of all the TV shows out there that really hype it and make it a little bit too like fantasy, does anyone come anywhere close?
Obviously you can tell with all of them that they've obviously had input from real life practitioners, but then obviously all these programs are sort of concerned with sort of getting viewers. So it's really interesting because you can often sort of like see, if you have knowledge of the area, where the input is and how it's then often sort of like exaggerated or sort of like used in a sort of like extremely unlikely scenario. I would say sort of just by virtue that with most of these programs, if like pretty much 10 out of 10, they figure out exactly what happened and who did it. By virtue of that, obviously that is far away from the sort of like real life experience. The types of crimes are obviously not sort of like the volume crimes that everyday police officers would be dealing with. And then, like you said as well, obviously the media's had an absolute field day with profiling, which the correct term obviously is behavioral investigative advice. And that is sort of like very different in terms of what I think a lot of people think it is and what it actually is. And we've got one of our optional modules, which I'm teaching actually, which is called a forensic and criminal psychology, where we really look into that in depth and we look at sort of like profiling and the different approaches and the sort of very common misconceptions and what it actually is. And in my experience, sort of like most students that have come out and sort of go, that is absolutely not what I would have thought based on what I saw in the media.
Yeah. So criminal minds, not 100%, but every so often you can see a trickle of advice may have gone into the filming.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I used to actually watch Criminal Minds when I was a student.
Me too.
Not for academic reasons.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting as well, because obviously that is focused on a unit that actually exists in the US, but then the US has a very different approach to in quotation marks, if profiling than the UK has, which again is something that we look at during the course. So we have much more of a sort of like statistical approach, and we have an academic field now called investigative psychology, which sort of, I did one of my masters in, that very much sort of like emerged out of sort of like the early scientific approaches to offender profiling. And obviously different countries sort of like have different criminal justice systems, different sort of police forces. So that particular unit is very much reflective of the American approach, which is very different from the UK approach.
Yeah. For someone who is looking to go on to a pre-joint degree like ours, what would you kind of suggest they could start doing now? A lot of people have got a little bit of downtime now, obviously. So what can they be doing to fill that time to get any, I don't know, experience or research or advice?
I mean, obviously, there are a number of things that you can do. Definitely sort of keeping up with sort of like all the information about sort of policing that comes out on government websites, that the College of Policing has a great sort of knowledge sort of database online, but also in terms of voluntary opportunities, basically anything that gets you in touch with victims or with offenders. So victim support, you could help out with charities that that support victims of sexual violence or of domestic abuse, and obviously the police is always looking for special constables. Yeah. So there are a number of opportunities there. So as I mentioned, when I was a student, I volunteered at Holloway Prison at the time for 2 years. So I conducted interviews with women who came into prison for the first time, and sort of acted as a buffer between the prison system, the women that had come in, and their families, and that was absolutely invaluable.
Yeah.
Experience. So I think it's really important to sort of, like I said, get that real life contact, and it's almost sort of like if you're doing something in the criminal justice system, it will inform your practical understanding of things, and it will serve you well. So there isn't just one thing that you can do, but there are a number of things, and my advice would always be to go for something that you're really interested in, because then it absolutely doesn't feel like work. You're going to be enjoying it.
I think that's a good point, because I think there's the fact that work experience is great for a lot of reasons, but particularly the fact that this kind of experience is so interesting as well. So you'll feel rewarded because you're helping people, you'll get the experience that you need, but on top of it, it's going to fly by because you'll just get so engrossed in the social aspects that come into it. So I think that's really, really good advice.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's why I ended up doing so much voluntary experience. Yeah. So I then sort of later on, I got involved with doing mindfulness-based cognitive behavioural therapy with regards to relapse prevention. So we were working with a lot of former drug addicts and people with mental health problems. And all of that sort of was incredibly relevant to what I was doing with my studies at the time, and then later on when I was teaching. And that experience then also was so valuable to me when I was out as an officer on the front line. So I think really it links in with what the professionalization is all about as well. That's if there really shouldn't be any competition between academics and practitioners, but we should work together so that both sides can inform each other. That's very much sort of like the ethos of like with which the course was designed as well.
You're working at the University of Law with our policing degree. What's different about our pre-joined degree than other degrees out there in policing?
Yeah, so basically at the moment there's a big transformation happening in policing, and they're getting more involved with the academic sector as a result of the professionalisation. So what is very interesting about our particular route, the pre-joined degree leading to the BSc in professional policing, is number one, that you are not only taught by academics as you would be on a lot of purely academic policing degrees, but that we really have that interdisciplinary mix between you being taught by experts in law on the legal side, you're being taught by former police officers who have an understanding of teaching and of academia, as well as social scientists with operational experience. So it's not purely theoretically focused in that way, which I think was one of the downsides, or is one of the downsides, with a lot of the other degrees. Yeah. And then obviously you also have the benefit of being able to use the degree to apply to a police force if you want to join. So you can use it for 5 years after successful completion to get into a police service, because as a provider, we are licensed by the College of Policing.
So obviously it's a lot of new change, like you say, in a reform. So what was the old route to getting into the police service?
So basically the old route was a level 3 qualification. So you would do something called the Certificate of Knowledge in Policing, called the CKP for short, but that was only at level 3. And then following that, you would go to training school where you would do sort of, I think the latest was do 13 weeks of of further training. So there was a very clear divide with regards to you learned the law on the CKP, but only to a level three level, so which is obviously below what an undergraduate level is. So an undergraduate level is level four to level six. So when you've completed your undergraduate degree, you'll be at level six. So you can see that there's so a lot more depth and complexity with regards to that, and a lot more sort of emphasis on this professionalization and other skills like research methods. And then you had something called IPLDIP, which was sort of like the training program within the police that would sort of build upon the CKP. But what really struck me when I was at training school was sort of that they don't really teach you the law at training school, because that was sort of outsourced in a way to the CKP. And in a way that sort of like can sometimes be, in my personal opinion, a little bit problematic. Because if you're sort of drawing a very clear sort of distinction between that is the law and that is learned in one place, and then we're looking at sort of procedure and operational techniques in another place, obviously sort of in a discipline, in a vocation, sort of like things interact and they're connected in a lot more sort of dynamic way.
So with the new route, there's a few different ways, isn't there, with this new police vision. What are the new routes into the police service?
Yeah, so the three new routes that were introduced under something called the PEQF, which stands for the Policing Education Qualifications Framework, are an apprenticeship, which is also abbreviated as the PCDA, so the Police Constable Degree Apprenticeship, the DHEP, which is the degree holder entry, and then you've got the pre-joined degree, which is what we are offering. So basically, both the apprenticeship and the pre-joined degree would take 3 years, but with the apprenticeship, obviously, it's a different form of a degree, so you would only spend 20% of the time at university, and you would also be an officer from day one, which initially might sound quite attractive, but obviously that means you have to balance your learning with operational demands. On the other hand, on the pre-joined degree, you get to focus on your studies first, you get a thorough and in-depth understanding of policing and related areas, and you get to really practice in a safe environment and consolidate your learning while being supported by tutors and having that sort of structured learning environment, rather than sort of trying to do too much at once or sort of being thrown in at the deep end. The degree holder entry, that basically applies to people who already have an undergraduate degree in any area, so it acts almost a little bit like a conversion. So again, it would be the same thing there, that you would be an officer from day one, rather than sort of like having that structured learning environment and having that blend of learning activities and practical tasks as you would get on the pre-joined degree.
Yeah, so it's not probably quite as overwhelming to do it that way. And it's funny because you were saying then about some of the practice related stuff that you can do when you're on the pre-joined, but part of it which I have a lot of fun getting involved with is the crime scene investigation, because I think it's quite cool that we have a crime scene at the Bloomsbury campus.
The crime scene is absolutely amazing. It's such a great resource, and especially the one at the Bloomsbury campus, it was just because of the sheer size, what it allows us to do is absolutely brilliant. So just a few weeks ago, I was in there and I took part in a role play as part of our introduction to vulnerability and risk module. So myself and another tutor, we put together a role play, and that the students then had to investigate. And it was really helpful based on their feedback for them, because there's a difference, obviously, in terms of having a theoretical abstract understanding of something, but then having to put that into practice. And again, sort of like there's a benefit to doing that in a safe environment where you can stop and pause and think about it the first few times that you're doing it, and where you are supported by tutors who are sort of like watching out for you, and who not going to put you down, but who are going to support you to basically get it right, and to keep learning while you're sort of putting those skills into practice. And it's a lot of fun, of course, as well.
I remember when me and you, because we're obviously saying here that some of the other routes, they kind of, you hit the ground running and you might be exposed to quite a lot quite early on, but I don't think the pre-joined degree really, it still exposes you to quite some gory stuff as well, because I remember when me and you were setting it up that time, we had to create some brain matter to put on that weapon. So that was a quite a gory little situation we got involved with. But that was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And I think also the important thing is sort of like there are three different routes for sort of like different reasons. So
Yeah.
I think it's important to sort of like not sort of like put any routes down. But sort of I do think sort of like that there are certain benefits to having a structured learning environment and to sort of like really give a profession that is very complex sort of like give it the time that it needs to develop that properly, but then obviously people learn at different paces as well, have different circumstances.
Yeah.
But like you said, especially with the crime scene, people are not being shielded on the pre-joined degree,
Yeah.
and that is also reflected in the curriculum. So obviously students need to be prepared to deal with quite challenging subjects, and obviously we are there to fully support them in that, and we help students to develop their resilience as part of the course as well.
Yeah, and I think for anyone who is, because that's the thing, is this isn't, like you say, it's not to shield you from anything that's too dark. It's not like the like toddler version of getting into the police service. It's still, if you look at like the module descriptions, there's some really interesting, but some really, like you say, quite dark content to cover, so that you are at a level and a position to really go hit the ground running, which I think is what's really great about it. So it's all kind of come about because of these reforms that are coming in the police service at the moment. And if I'm right, it's called the Policing Vision of 2025. Is that what it's called?
So there's one thing that includes the three new entry routes, which is the PEQF, so the Policing Education Qualification Framework, and
Yeah.
that is a new professional framework for the education of police officers and staff that we just talked about with the three new entry routes. And then, like you mentioned, there's also the Policing Vision 2025, and that basically sets out the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners, as well as the National Police Chiefs Council's long-term professional development strategy for where they want to take policing in the time period up until 2025. And really one of the core things that strikes me about it is that it has a massive emphasis upon the quality of the people
Yeah.
and of bringing policing into the 21st century. And as you said, you can very much see that into the very sort of varied and intrinsically interesting content that you see when you look at our module descriptors. Because obviously policing has changed massively. There have been lots of changes with regards to society, with regards to globalization, and also with regards to sort of the types of crime that we're dealing with. And then there's the issue of using resources efficiently, having to deal with diverse and complex communities and needs, some of sort of who have a very difficult relationship for the police, which I think is important for people that join the police to understand, to sort of do justice to that sort of socio-cultural context. And then obviously we've got crime problems that are very different from the ones that we would have had a few decades ago. So terrorism, cybercrime,
Yeah.
transnational organized crime, human trafficking. So really what all of that means is we really need a competent professional police force, but we also want a police force that is representative of the community that they will be policing. So it's really important that policing as a career is seen to be accessible and attractive to all members of the community. So that is sort of like very much one of the key aims behind the degree and behind the policing vision as well, which is very much aligned with that.
It's nice to hear, and it's good because for people a little bit older like me, so maybe like tutors and so on at sixth forms, there's been times in the past when police have got not the best reputation amongst society, and often that's because we like to moan about things rather than speak positively about things. It makes better news when something's a negative, but it is nice that all these reforms and all these changes are all about modernizing, innovation, and inclusivity, and I think it's a really smart way. It's like you said, if we didn't change up every so often, how on earth are we going to tackle things like cybercrime, which is like half the crime out there is online nowadays. So it's really important to make sure that the police are able to tackle that efficiently. So that's really exciting to hear. Okay, so thank you very much for joining us. I've got one last quick question that I've been asking quite a lot of people on these, which I just think is a fun question. Do you get into anything true crime, podcasts, Netflix documentary, or anything? And if so, which ones have you been into?
Me personally, I'm probably the worst person to ask that. I used to a lot more, and it's one of these things that if, like when I was studying it, when it was all new to me, so if, like, I was really so I was so interested in it, I was soaking it up like a sponge. And now, because of, I have that association with work, I watch more documentaries now. But I remember, especially when I was a student, so if there was that wave of CSI programs back then, so. I definitely used to watch Criminal Minds. I remember watching NCIS with my parents and them constantly complaining that I was pointing out every 2 seconds what was wrong. And something similar with CSI. I don't think I've seen many of these sort of like newer up-to-date programs. I mean, luckily sort of my students are really into them, so they sort of let me know whenever there's something out there that they think is particularly relevant, and then it sort of goes on my watch list.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that's been really insightful for everyone. I found it really interesting. And yeah, thanks a lot, Jen.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, so I hope that was really helpful to you. Some great information from Jen there. I'm so interested in the things that Jen used to research and some of the modules that she's been designing, especially all the stuff about criminal behavior. So I'm going to definitely try and make sure to get Jen back on this podcast soon. Please do subscribe to our podcast. Please go on our website if you do want more information. We're going to build and build more information for you to be looking at. Stuff that hopefully will give you a little bit of insight before thinking of maybe joining one of the degrees here at the University of Law. So if you want to find our website, it's law.ac.uk. And we hope that you come and listen to us the next time that we release one episode. Thanks a lot.